Alright, time for another DoNutGod.com video presentation. Yeah, one of those kind of weeks, months, I don't know, something like that, but, you know, shortly after the election, depending on when you're watching this video, and there was no way to feel good, no matter which way it went, and, yeah, it's just, ew. Ew. So the world has gotten so ugly from my perspective. And humans have gotten so fucking stupid. And so unimpressive in terms of their function. It's just a degrade in the level of bug life. So I guess that's sort of the point of this video, a little bit, is the fact that it's people won't even acknowledge the reality of our circumstance. You know, it's a bug-averse. So if there's any life in it, that's all it's ever going to be. There's no other way for it to exist except through evolution, and evolution makes bugs. It's its favorite thing. We're just a variety. You know, we can pretend otherwise, but it's the same mechanical system. It's just a version of it that plays with concepts and ideas and words, and that's just some kind of wobbly antenna thing. You know, it doesn't mean much because the end behavior is still what's in it for me, and fuck. You know, there's just no, people are still functioning, you know, on just that crude a level. And, for all the talk, underneath it all is just slime. And it just, you know, so you can sort of use the election as an example, is that you couldn't have found like two more superficially vain, people and of, you know, meager inspiration or even devotion to anything besides something that glorifies them. To run for president. I mean, you know, and you're just saying, wow, how do you have systems that produce this? It's crazy that this is the best they could do. I mean, you could argue that Democrats have the perfect opportunity to take over the world, and instead they became pro-criminal. You know, it's not even the immigration thing. It's the immigration thing with no accountability. Like, you know, you're better off not being a citizen. Democrats are basically supporting the idea that, well, don't bother being a citizen because that limits how many rights you have. You have a lot more freedom and liberty if you're not a citizen. How'd they become for that? I mean, and it got so bad to the point where they would just ask for looking ridiculous in the sense that they don't even... somebody whacks somebody with a hammer and they don't even ask for any bail money. You know, they just say, okay, just go back out on the street. And if you show up for court, fine. If you don't show up, it's fine. Doesn't make any difference. I mean, you know, they videotape the marauders, you know, shoplifting, well, stealing, you know, robbing places. And, no accountability. Even if you arrest them, you catch them, it doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere except back home, to count their victory. And you're just like, oh, how did they become for that? You know, that's really silly. You know, and it's like, you know, who's, you know, I don't think, you know, it's not like you're saying, oh, gee, I hate foreigners. Oh, I hate immigrants. No, it's just that, you know, you can't flood a country with them, especially if half of them are pregnant. And going to demand a bunch of social services and they have 14 kids and all that kind of crap. I mean, obviously that's not going to work. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, and that's in the context of the Democrats were always opposing immigration because they knew it drove wages down. It just creates more surplus labor, and we're already in a, kind of a labor problem in the sense that, if you're not fairly highly skilled, you're not worth much to anyone. I mean, now you have the labor unions fighting for the right not to have to compete with technology. So the Teamsters are, I don't even understand that strike. I mean, why they decided to put it off until after the election, because you sort of argue that you look like Trump was going to win. He had a damn good chance because, the Democrats just look ridiculous. Not that Trump wasn't, but I just mean he had already looked ridiculous. So it was already out of the bag, so to speak. So just so it's so surprising how the what happened? I mean, how did that happen? How did the Democrats go from being anti-immigration to completely pro any kind of immigration and pretty much anti any kind of thing like a civilization? Like, just don't bother. Don't bother even trying to be civilized. You don't have to get driver's licenses. You don't have to do this. You don't have to, what is all that crap? And they did it. I mean, in the sense that their judges are making these loop-de-doo decisions, and you're just like, what the fuck? Basically saying crime does pay. As long as you're a poor criminal, it's okay. And that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I mean, I had no horse in this race, and you could just wonder why there was no other horse. I mean, why there couldn't have been somebody, could have just anybody who didn't have an ulterior motive. I mean, the Kennedy guy was obviously a sh just some kind of faker, just trying to steal votes, and make a mess. But it's not, he wasn't a Democrat. I mean, in a lot of ways. I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get how they could fuck it so bad when they had, like I said, they just, if they had put some kind of human being that had any kind of character at all, and you could almost argue in kind of a scary sense exactly how big a Republican victory it would have been if they ran somebody, even one of any one of the candidates from say 10 or 20 years ago, even a George Bush. I mean, you could just he would annihilate, and he was a dope. But at least he, could pretend to look like a president. Just amazing. Well, anyway, so I didn't, no point in getting into it. But it's all part of the, just my statement about how, the world in the last 10 years is just, and it's a rough 10 years. I mean, going from, 55 to 65 is a nasty, business in the first place. And I had to move, and, my whole life was changed in terms of the environment I'm living in. And, it's just not, it's not my life anymore. I was kind of free to be me, and I'm just, I feel much more caged, and it's a shitty zoo. Not a, it's not one of those nicer zoos where you have things to jump on and balls to play with and whatnot. It's it's kind of a stark, concrete kind of zoo. But anyway, lots of regulations, rules to obey. So anyway, I was going to make the video sort of about a video I had done years and years and years ago. Talking, with this strategy, this simple kind of strategy, where, what the fuck, where's the link? where the idea would be is instead of writing some book to who knows who, where if you can't get the underlying premises right, everything you write is just a waste of time. So there's just this kind of understanding that you have to agree on some axioms before you can start doing logic with those facts, because if somebody doesn't accept one of the facts you're claiming, then the logic all breaks down and is just no point, it's a waste of time. So the idea would be is that you just make these declarative statements and you just go through them and say, do you accept that there's, the and so this is where another one of the problems though, is that you can't just say something like that an intelligence created the universe. Because then the God bothers won't think their God qualifies as an intelligence because it's a supreme being or something. You have to just keep qualifying the statement to fit all the different categories of nonsense. So the idea would be some intelligence outside of something that had to evolve, So it would have to be a bug because there's no way you can evolve without having that horrible bug history. There's no way to derive intelligence, to create it, or you could argue absorb the logic principle, out of the environment, without that progressive evolution thing where you recognize what a tree is, and then you recognize the sky is different than the trees. And the grass is different than the trees, and you go through that process of being able to identify and contextualize the environment. So anyway, obviously this idea that some God poofed the universe, it's just on its face, it fails in the sense that, well, who poofed the God, So there's no point in using it as an answer for why something in the universe exists. Because then you have to do the same. You have to write back to the poof theory to create your God that always existed. And as he was always existing, he was contemplating how I'll create living humans that are just like me in my image, and except I'll make them dumb. So they won't know what bacteria is and all kinds of stuff, and they'll get sick and die a lot. And torment each other a lot, and it'll be fun. Yeah, no, so anyway, the point is that yes, you should be able to, have the conversation in the context. I mean, how do you talk to a religious person about the realities of evolution when they won't accept its existence? It's that's pretty much, it ain't gonna work. It ain't, you can't possibly get to the rational conclusion if you have to get there, without using the actual facts of our circumstance, what it is to be alive and human on Earth, in the year 2024, and beyond. Of course, it's always and beyond, because that's what we're the foundation for is the and beyond, the future. The future's waiting for us to, to build the car it can drive, so to speak. Now, even that argument now, you'd say if you were arguing with other bugs who knew they were bugs, and you said, okay, that's sort of our agenda here is that we're supposed to improve the environment that things have to live in, and we'll just keep increasing the improvements, and that's a rational thing to do is improve the conditions under which the bugs have to live. Let's do that running water thing. Let's do the purified clean water, clean air. Let's do all these little basic things to improve the way we function. And then you can use the simple logic that there's no point in just moving the dirty stuff somewhere else. I mean, oh, don't kill my kids, kill somebody else's kids. Well, everybody could say, okay, that isn't what I'm not going to say I believe in that. I'm not going to defend that. you have to come up with some other excuse to do exactly that, but you have to at least hide it with some other principle. You can't just say your kids are better than somebody else's kids, and get away with it and, claim you're a reasonable person. So, yeah, and the fact is even if you don't have kids, you're stuck with the fact that they exist and they need to be cared for. So even if you don't have them, you have to be driven by the agenda that you can't be eating children for dinner. eating their torment and suffering. It's not efficient minimally. So anyway, I'm really not getting to. So the point would be is you'd make these statements, okay, there's no God, and then yeah, it is a bugaverse, and intelligence, makes being a bug, takes it to a different level, but it leaves you a dilemma in the sense, in the sense that yes, now you are God. I mean, if you are the smartest thing on the plane and the pilot's gone, you have to fly. You have to take the place of, and that's the burden, is to preserve, what has to be protected and prevent, the waste. So against even the concept of waste would be just a basic concept. I mean, do you understand the concept of something being wasted? That is, paying, burning the money, so to speak, burning the currency, and how stupid that would be to pay too much for too little. I mean, do you understand what a sucker is? You are a dupe or a fool. So I did make an effort to do that years ago. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, what 15 years does to a person. Eek. Yeah. Anyway, and it's. Yeah, it isn't great. It's not a great effort at it, and that's the problem, is that you got to take time to engineer arguments, I suppose. At least I guess you have to, because this certainly hasn't worked. It is a little. I mean, I feel a little guilty in the sense that I should have devoted more time to this, these arguments, and maybe being more creative and all that stuff, and trying to create some sort of more poignant and significant video, I guess. Part of me says, though, is that there's just something about me that's just not generally appealing. But I can't be sure of that. It's not like I can say, oh, there might be some script I could read, and people would just love it, and I end up with a million views. But it tends to, I tend to doubt it. And so that brings up a whole nother psychological question, is that yes, that because people are bugs, and they do just react to book covers, and they do blame messengers for messages and all that kind of stuff. So they really just don't get the concept. But anyway, but see, so for the last 10 years, I really have spent most all of my time, free time, doing physics videos. And because I thought there would be leverage in those arguments, I thought, well, yeah, physicists, that's going to be an easy conversation because I don't have to argue about God and evolution and all this other stuff. I just have to argue about simple, what's the evidence really say? What's it really point to? What's a reasonable conclusion based on what we do know? All of that kind of thing. And I thought, well, this should be easy. And the fact is that I think their, the road they were on, it was catastrophically wrong. And obviously you'd get some notoriety for rescuing them, from sailing into the hurricane or into the sinkhole or however to metaphor them traveling the bridge to nowhere or the road to nowhere. And I thought it would be really, it seemed like this should be a very doable thing to persuade reasonable, rational people that they had basically turned physics into a religion a couple hundred years ago, that they just really made a mess out of it. And it really needs to be fixed. It's fairly, I think the fix is fairly simple and easy to understand. And so anyway, I thought there'd be, it'd be a good tool. Okay, the fact that I could be demonstrated right in terms of making physics arguments would create some boost for these arguments, and that they would get more exposure, and I'd have more opportunity to tear down the institutions that are full of shit and telling very false narratives or descriptions of circumstances. But no, that didn't work. And so, as Stuart pointed out last week, is that there were a lot of other subjects that I thought were no-brainers, like the economy thing, the whole idea of how money works. And the fact is that the more citizens borrow money, okay, the more the rich get richer, all kinds of little arguments about how the actual economics works and how, there's a point where you create such an enormous amount of this thing called debt, okay, that is unrecoverable. That is, there's not enough assets for to cover it. There's no, the FDIC insurance is too little money in the account to actually cover any kind of crisis. Those kind of simple arguments that that's not going to work. And you have to be ready for it when it doesn't work. Let's see. How else to state that? Well, anyway, those arguments I thought would have been good enough to convince some people. And they were very, this didn't work. And so it's just more evidence, that people are so wrong, okay, that they can't know right when they hear it. And that, that's my only reasonable conclusion, obviously, because I've gone over it in my head so many times and said, well, there's no flaws in these arguments. So why are they failing? Well, they're only failing because they're on deaf ears. The brains I'm talking to are so meager in their capacity to do logic and honest reasoning, that that's the reason why there's any failure here. So, in that context, it just does take the, it makes it more challenging because it's not just about making an argument anymore. Now it's about dealing with some sort of psychology bullshit and, finding some reason for why people are so intractably impervious to reasoning. Yeah. And again, it's not just me. So that's the only part I can feel good about is the fact that, you know, there's still all these religious nuts out there. And they've heard the arguments. And they still believe. And, you know, just saying, well, that's just being a belligerent idiot. Come on. I mean, so obviously, it has so little integrity as a theory. You know, this story, 2,000-year-old fish stories. You don't stake your kid's life on 2,000-year-old fish stories. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And so obviously they just have such a wish for it to be true. I don't even understand how they have that wish because, you know, God seems like a, you know, profound asshole. You know, there's just nothing about, you know, living in those worlds that you'd even want. Why would you want to have anything to do with this, you know, penis-hating God? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, how people could fall for this shit. Now, anyway. So, that's, you know, blah, 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 ramble, bamble, blah, 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 blah. I'll take a break and see if we can... Maybe I'll play some of my old, less than articulate argument. But it's just this idea that you just ask a bunch of yes or no questions, and eventually, you know, you can get somebody where you want to go, and you can make more arguments. If a person needs more arguments to be convinced there's no God, you can just keep making them. Because you really, until you fix that piece of crap in somebody's head, there's just no point in arguing or talking about anything else because they'll evade every implication that you can derive out of the facts. They'll evade it by just saying, well, God wouldn't agree with that or something like that. They'll just evade the point of the arrow by saying, you know, by taking a piece out of your arrow, by just saying, well, you never proved there wasn't a God. So there's just no point. the point of your point, you know, becomes less pointy. yes, if you haven't, you know, made sure that the person agrees that you can't make matter disappear, kind of thing. All right, anyway, I'll be back. All right, should be back. Donations, the shirts. Anyway, very stylish. Amazing for what they, you know, they cost next to nothing. You know, it's amazing what they can print. So it's kind of the weird part is that, you know, the technology is getting so good at some stuff. And it's, you know, just for a buggier planet. I mean, you know, the bugs really don't, they're not up to a performance that's consistent with the world they're heading for in terms of understanding it or investing wisely in it in the future because it's all for nothing, you know, if they can't control population and, you know, obviously the whole energy problem, global climate change, yeah, all that crap. It's just going to ruin it all. But anyway, no point in having the technology if you're going to drill holes in the boat, so to speak. But anyway, so I was sitting here thinking, I'm saying, okay, yeah, maybe I'll try some, maybe I'll go somewhere else in this subject, and I'll save that for some other time. Because it really is about the psychology part, and I was thinking about the physics arguments, and just about how the difference between, you know, how what interests people, and that they become, you know, focused, and you know, specific knowledge versus general knowledge, I guess, something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to find some way to understand it. You know, because I'm not like pro nerd or something. I don't think you should. I don't think a kid should be raised, you know, with nothing more in mind than acquiring like Mr. Spock kind of knowledge or something. But, you know, it's just the truth that you really have to do a lot of, you have to listen to a lot of crap because there's so much noise and garbage in it all. And you filter through the bits that are actually insightful and smart or clever or a nice abbreviation, you know. You know, I could argue that, you know, crap, you know, consumption, reproduction, addiction, and parasitism, it's conceptually a nice little hunk of words to throw together to kind of understand the, you know, what drives us naturally. And obviously we can rise above that nature. So, you know, little lines from a movie, you know, nature is what we're here to overcome, Mr. Walnut, or whatever from the movies. You know, you can find little statements and bits of truth in all of the mush that's out there. And how do you select it is dependent on, you know, the filter you are, and your filter changes and evolves and gets better and better, and gets narrower and narrower, I guess the argument could be. And so somehow you have to start off with a filter that's not crap, So I don't know, you know, it's just the difference. So I was just thinking about, okay, so you have you know, I just it's just kind of a, you have to be careful with these kind of subjects. So, you know, Jews have a tendency to dominate in certain professions, you know, law, law, finance, I guess you could argue, and, you know, physics in particular, doctors too, you know, medical. And you know, the point sort of is because they're raised to sort of feel like underdogs, and that you know, they got to carry the ball for their kind, let's just say. You know, so that's it's a way of raising somebody. So it's very different. You know, I wasn't raised to be a European or, you know, some kind of ethnicity, or, you know, I wasn't, you know, so whatever, it just wasn't, it didn't, you know, I wasn't, there wasn't some heritage to be defending. And what I knew about my ancestry was a little bit disturbing in the sense that it was, yeah, it was Mayflower stuff. And but that really had to do with, you know, these, those people weren't too fair to the Indians, kind of thing, you know, the Native Americans. And you know, a branch of half of my family went north, and you know, no doubt trapped animals, certainly cut down trees, you know, did, you know, exploitation type things. So nothing really to feel like, oh yeah, I'm fighting for that heritage, you know. And I didn't have a name, you know, that was like some Williams or something, where you could look back in history and find all the Williamses and something to be, you know, fighting for. You know, so there was no sense of upholding some sort of tradition, and there certainly wasn't any, you know, yeah, my parents didn't really instill any kind of that kind of thing. And I guess in some sense that's sort of important because it keeps you from being an asshole, I think. You know, to have some kind of pressure put on you, like you are in a position. You know, the reputation of your grandfather and his father and his father is all dependent on you, that kind of thing. But they all came from such, it was all so diverse that there was no, it wasn't like you had a family business, you know. It wasn't like there was some thing thing, where you felt that kind of pressure. And so the only pressure you felt was how to fit into the world as, just being, it's like you don't have a position guaranteed, and you have to work your way up. And I guess that's almost worse, is that you don't have any sense of the tribe will protect you, or that there'll be some doors that'll be closed, but some doors that'll be open, and that kind of stuff. And so you have to make this selection of what to become, what to do with your life. And it's difficult. It was difficult for me. I don't know, it shouldn't have been, but I guess things seemed, they seemed further away or too far away. And so for some reason I didn't gravitate to them, but it seems like I should have gravitated to some kind of idea of engineering science kind of thing. But I guess I didn't really think there were, I didn't really have any knowledge of the existence of any science that wasn't commercial. And so, and so the only thing you got was something like an astronaut, and you could say, yeah, but that's way, I don't want, first, I wouldn't want the job, because, I get woozy if, if the floorboards squeak too much. So yeah, no chance. So everything had some sort of barrier to it, or thing where I say, no, it's no way I could do that. Like even being a doctor, it was like, oh, yeah, no, I could stick my hand in somebody's guts. No, it doesn't feel right to me. So it didn't. I didn't have any sense that that would be a good idea. So I was pretty undirected, I guess, and that's a real mistake. And so I ended up doing jobs, that either paid or that I liked doing. So they either were jobs that didn't pay enough and I liked doing, groundskeeping and stuff, or restaurant work and that kind of thing. And once you get in it, it's a game. It's a playable structure to manipulate, and so you become engaged even if you don't like it, just because you're playing it. So it's almost like I ended up playing the trumpet because it was like there was only two instruments left when I showed up on instrument day or whatever. So, and I don't know what the other one was, but yeah, I obviously didn't choose it. So it wasn't because I had like any affiliation for playing trumpets, and it's that kind of awkwardness that there was just nothing I liked about trumpets for, just playing taps. And so I played taps a lot. And so that was, but that was the only use I could find for it because everything else sounded like noise. It's hard to make anything beautiful come out of it. So, it's a limited game, so that's the real point of it, I guess. I'm saying is that you need to be involved in something that gives you some idea that you can excel or get somewhere with it. You can make it do something, or like I said, just you can play the game well, and get somewhere. Accomplish something, not only for yourself, but just in the idea of doing a job well, kind of thing. Efficiency maybe would be an argument. So even when I was washing dishes, I was engineering the system and changing it, because you could see, the last guy who had the job didn't think about it, And so they just did what they were told instead of saying, well, maybe it'd be sense more sensible not to do it this way, but to do it some other way because it's half the time. You can get much more done. So I was always doing that in the jobs I had. And that was sort of also a problem, just because of the system. it almost doesn't reward that because the more efficient you become at your job, the more they want to keep you in that job. And that's sort of the bullshit part. So anyway, I wanted to get sort of back to the identity thing and how useful that is, but I guess in some sense it's also one of those things to watch out for is people, motivated by their race or their tradition or their religion. And this becomes their, they can become a menace, just because of their fanaticism and their devotion. And, I mean, being devoted to your mother and father and brother and sister is one thing, but being devoted to, a religion of, whatever, 50 million followers trying to take over the world, that's a little different. So it can be a very positive or a negative thing, I guess, is the point that we're sort of going to try to make, is that, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, I think it's very constructive if people were raised with more of a sense of identity. But it should be an identity as being part of life on Earth, that you're a representative of a thinking, feeling organism on Earth, and that's what your obligation is to do that well, and to enhance the dignity of your kind, earthling, however you want to kind of phrase that. And instead, people are, they're not doing that. Instead, they're, segregating themselves in a sense and making almost deliberate efforts to, make distinctions and differences and say that they're fundamentally, better. So then it gets to the whole inheritance argument, which is probably why I went on this train of thought, is just thinking about the election and all that stuff. The big issue for me for the Democrats was is this is the key subject. This is the, when they say tax the rich, the real point is to tax the unearned part of the rich, okay? The part that isn't merit pay, the part that isn't have anything to do with deserve. And so the whole idea is to break the legacy of ownership, this idea that people are born lords and barons, and we're to be ruled by them because of their ownership, that they inherit, and that they have some sort of credibility. And so, like, Trump is just such an obvious example of, he could never have earned it. He couldn't hold on to what he had inherited, and it was only through chicanery that he did, only through stuff you would consider grossly illegal, borrowing money and not paying it back, all that kind of crap. And so it's but that's the real thing. That's a huge flaw in our system of, where you'd say, yes, it makes every bit of sense that people who have acquired skills should get more money. People who work harder or, sacrifice their physical health and all that kind of stuff should get paid more. Just rational statements about how what fair would be. And that, just inheriting ownership of billions of dollars is bullshit. And so maybe you can inherit a few million, and that's more than enough. How much more of a head start do you have to have over everybody else than a few million dollars? And it's all about this whole net argument. It's really hard to be bold. Say if you have, I'd saved a, when I was probably 17 or 18, I might have had $20,000 or $30,000 in the bank, from odd jobs, shoveling snow, cutting grass, working in restaurants, real bullshit jobs. So it's really hard-earned money. And, it was, it's a real challenge, when you have these opportunities where, okay, you could invest in something. I had a couple of proposals where I could have invested in something, a little, business I'd own half of and some other guy and blah, 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 and they're just looking for, they're looking for somebody to put up the money, okay, because they're cash poor. But anyway, so there, and there are chances, but you got no net. so if it goes south, you've lost it all. And, and so it's a lot harder to play under those circumstances. And then the rich have this huge advantage where they can do that 10 times and they could fail all 10 and it wouldn't hurt them. And clearly, obviously, if they get 10 chances, one of them will pay off, and finance the next 10 chances. And so it's almost a, you're almost working with insurance, like falling somehow would look really cool because of the way you'll bounce off the net. And so you'll win-win. So even if you fall, you win, kind of thing. And so, I mean, it's such a fundamental break in the whole idea of the invisible hand, economic theories. It just ruins any kind of notion of a rational evolution and, the best rising to the top and all of that kind of thing. Inheritance just breaks it because that it's really, there's not something genetically superior, okay, that it's always, the people who get obscenely wealthy are mostly just lucky, the right time at the right place, all that kind of crap, and it's not some genetic feature, and your kids aren't going to inherit it, and, they're not going to be all that, and there's no reason for them to be, given control. And it's just dangerous having people who have that much power anyway, even if they've earned it. We shouldn't have to trust in dictators, economic dictators. And you can see what they've done. They acquire all this wealth and they don't do anything with it. they just piss it away on frivolous crap or completely misguided fake foundations that don't really accomplish anything. I can't think of any money spent by any rich person through their foundations that do anything of any value. You could go back to Carnegie, building Carnegie Hall. so there are things where they actually just build a building or build some sort of infrastructure and you say, well, good, that's a good thing to do. Thank you. Public libraries were financed that way. I think that was also Carnegie. It might have been some Getty money. But anyway, so we taxed the money. We did something decent with it. They did something decent before we would tax the money. So the idea is the rich person decides what charity to give the money to, but at least it goes to some sort of public service, And that doesn't happen very, even the Rockefeller money was spent on so much better infrastructure than anything. The new billionaires aren't, producing anything. That would have been, for me, that was, besides the fact that you're stopping the right-wing Christians, the Democrats were important to me, not only to stop the Christians, okay, but to try to create some sort of economic justice where, people got paid based on what they were, what the work was sucking out of them, how much blood they were, drained of to do the job, and how much work and devotion they actually put in, rather than some bullshit about being somebody's cousin. And that's really what the system is made out of. It's all nepotism and run by people who are a little bit too their family kind of thing, their extended family, and that's the bullshit part. I don't know if I need to go further into that mess. So, Yeah, I mean, there's just, you'd say that every kid should be raised with some notion that they have an obligation, okay, to participate in civilization in a productive way. And that it's not them against the civilization, it's not them trying to defeat it, it's not them trying to manipulate it, it's not them trying to get some advantage out of it. It's them. And what's their contribution going to be? What's your, did you break the wheel or grease the wheel, of human civilization kind of idea? And I have to admit, I didn't have any of that. I didn't have that sense. I mean, I acquired it, but I wasn't raised in it. And I think it would have helped to be. To have that idea in my head sooner, and the idea that it isn't an us and them world. But I guess that's the hard part, to create the idea that there aren't us's and them's, especially back then, because you're having this Cold War with the commies and this and that, so there's lots of places to us and them. And that's where it gets pretty destructive. Because you have to figure in the end, it's got to be all us, because there's not going to be any room for thems anymore. And especially as technology does its thing, clearly the idea of conflict, dramatic conflict, becomes less and less comprehensible as. A survivable reality that you really just have to do this one world thing eventually. And this idea of being brains, and not the rest of the crap on top of the brain. This part, the visually, what you can see, the parts you can see. We've got to be what we got to be our ideals and our ideas. We got to be what we are as a person. Judge a man based on the content of their character, kind of thing. And we got to see their character. Yeah, that's part of it. And but the problem is so many people are just too stupid to even have a character. I mean, they're really just being bounced around by impulses. And they're really not giving any serious thought to, what's paid for their existence and who's paying. And mean, it's all the stupid things. I mean, the really stupid things. I mean, just the beginning of this week, I saw a car accident, and it was just so, it was so stupid. I mean, the guy goes 60 miles an hour down a street at, 11 o'clock at night, and he zooms by me, and I go, "What fucker," and I'm sitting there busy swearing at him, and he just crashes right into somebody coming across the intersection, and you're just like, "What the fuck?" And the weirdest part was is that I just, even though I saw the whole thing, I knew it just doesn't matter. You don't know who the fuck's in these cars. You don't know. You can't even go close to getting involved in anything because you don't know what the fuck you're going to get into. Because you don't know what kind of creatures are driving around. And, so even that's kind of funny, is just that, 15 years ago, I would have, rushed to, offer assistance, and now not happening now. But anyway, just it's the kind of stuff that just tells you, oh, well, fuck this. It's just whatever this thing is, it isn't a civilization, and it's just really discouraging and depressing. And so, yeah, it just makes all of this that much more miserable, getting old as the civilization looks like it's degrading and decomposing right before your eyes. It's kind of sucks. But I guess if everything was looking great, that would suck too, because you're figuring, oh, I'm going to be dead and all this cool stuff is going to happen. So I guess the only good news is I'm going to be dead and all this shitty stuff is going to happen. So, but you know. Those minor advantage disadvantages really don't have anything else about how the story is really tragic. Because the only thing that can do anything to prevent waste is civilization. Without it, you can't save any part of, you can't save humans and you can't save the animals, you can't save anything. If we fail to be civilized. Pretty much. All right, back. Finish up. So I was just thinking, just had the thought of all the arguments, the people with all their delusions and the silly crap. And one of the ones that came to me was, every now and then you see a comment by some lunatic who doesn't think consciousness, your intelligence, your emotions, your feelings, your impulses, your everything isn't manufactured by your brain. That somehow plants or trees or rocks are conscious. And you're just like, how could anybody believe that? And that does go back, a few hundred years. And it comes up in, there was scientists who would think that kind of thing. And you're just saying, how could they make that credible? I mean, how, even because we already knew about things where somebody could get a whap in the head and it completely fuck up who they are. And so it was clear that it was all organized inside of the brain. I guess just the idea is that they couldn't really comprehend the idea that your brain is made out of 100 billion elements, 100 billion tools or instruments, that make it possible to create this bizarre event of being a person, a sentient mammal, let's say. And yeah, it's an incredible thing. And just to and it makes it just make you just like, oh, come on, if you're going to sit there and say a cardboard box is conscious, I mean, what the fuck? It's just it's such an insult, and they're doing it in some sense of, doing paying respect to the idea of consciousness, like it's some sort of spiritual thing. But I mean, it's just such a disrespect in the sense that it's not appreciating just what it takes to manufacture something like this and just how incredible it is after all of these years of evolution that we have actually acquired this level of functionality, that our machinery, our reflexes, it start off with just simple reflexes. You push this and this goes down like that, right? I mean, all this little simple thing. But then you put a billion of those inside of a brain, 100 billion, and yeah, it really gets interesting. What kind of, what it can manifest as a as an event in the universe, being alive and conscious on planet Earth. I mean, that should be a real subject. And it's all covered in woo. Nobody can talk about it in any other context but a bunch of wooey rhetoric. Or else, if they don't woo on that subject, then they say something stupid like this is something to do with free will or something, and you can't blame people for being assholes. You shouldn't do anything if they're an asshole. You shouldn't stop assholes. You shouldn't prevent assholes. You shouldn't discourage asshole. I mean, that's the simplest one, right? Like, we shouldn't discourage it. Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, we shouldn't reward being a good person, and we shouldn't punish being a shithead. Yeah, we should. It makes perfectly good sense to do that. Now, how dramatically should punish? I mean, should we cut the shoplifter's hands off? No, I don't think we have to go that far. But we can do enough to discourage it. Jeez. Anyway. So enough of a video, I guess. So not exactly what I intended, but who cares? Because, I haven't been very usefully innovative. No, I've been redundant and uncreative, let's say. And so I have to devote more energy to this endeavor. But I'm still invested, like I said, if people can't get the simple physics stuff right, I mean, if you can't even get intelligent people to admit that it doesn't take 25 times the fuel to move something 5 times as fast, then yeah, what's the point of talking to people? Because, they just couldn't give a shit about the truth. And it's just about living their lie and their fable. And it's just about, marching in the fable parade. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the truth or, making the best of our circumstance. They're just going to keep. Burning fires in their rowboat or something. You know what I mean? It's just they're going to keep breaking the system, to feed their desire to make banners, flags to wave or something. I don't know. Yeah, there's probably a better metaphor. But yes, they're, I mean, they're sucking the blood of their own children. So they claim to care about the future and care about their children, and they're absolutely drilling holes in their boat. And they won't even admit that. But anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yes, well, I just, I have to. I have to make, stainless, more stainless steel in my arguments than, throwing, crudely constructed rock bombs, something, whatever the stupid analogy is for it. I have to do better. I got it. I work on it. Anyway, until the next time, and such and so forth. Really, God, I just, it's just so disappointing. Watching humans. Eesh. Yuck.